Welcome to this podcast about the Bruin Bay Fault and Contact Point in Alaska. The article is produced by Coast View, written by Dr. Carl Schock, and read by Inara, an AI-generated voice. Scroll down to see pictures, maps, and dozens of embedded links to additional information. Please consider subscribing to enjoy more articles and podcasts at coastview.org. The Bruin Bay Fault is exposed at Contact Point, a headland on the southern shore of Bruin Bay along the western side of Cook Inlet, about 123 miles northwest of Kodiak and 93 miles west-southwest of Homer, Alaska. Named in 1926 by George C. Martin of the U.S. Geological Survey, it marks a significant geological boundary. A geological contact separates one rock body from another, formed during sediment deposition, magma intrusion, or faulting. The Bruin Bay Fault is a series of steeply dipping faults extending roughly 308 miles along the western Gulf of Alaska from Basharoff Lake on the Alaska Peninsula to the Castle Mountain Fault System. The fault divides two terrains, a western block of volcanic rock and an eastern block of sedimentary rock. The former supplied material for the latter during the Jurassic and Cretaceous. Rocks west of the contact belong to the Talkeetna Formation, which includes early and middle Jurassic, granodiorite, quartz monzonite, volcanic breccia, and tuff, all slightly altered or metamorphosed. In contrast, the eastern side features the late Jurassic Neck Formation, composed of siltstone, sandstone, and conglomerate. Sedimentary layers here exceed 9,843 feet in total thickness, though they typically average between 5,577 and 6,562 feet. Plate tectonics has shaped these formations. Paleomagnetism, fossil assemblages, and depositional evidence indicate that the Alaska Peninsula terrain originated in tropical waters and migrated across the Proto-Pacific Ocean by the end of the Mesozoic. Deformation and uplift continue today. The site offers insight into the interplay of magmatic, sedimentary, and tectonic processes that have shaped Alaska's landscape. The researchers study Contact Point to unravel the history of terrain migration, fault development, and depositional environments that have produced rock formations with remarkable fossil records. Differential weathering and erosion distinguish the hanging wall from the footwall, while two silicate-rich volcanic dikes trace the fault plane. Megafossils, especially bivalves and ammonites, assist in identifying similar rock types. This exemplary location continues to inform geological research and advance our understanding of regional tectonic evolution. The rocks along the western shore of Cook Inlet are famed for their abundant fossil marine invertebrates. The study of these fossils dates back to the final days of Russian America, when mining engineer Peter Doroshin sent a notable collection to St. Petersburg. There, in 1871, paleontologist Carl Eduard von Eichwald, of German ancestry and born in present-day Latvia, examined and described the specimens. He identified bivalves of the genus Retroceramus as the most common megafossils in Middle Jurassic rocks from Cook Inlet and named four early species, R. perectus, R. ambiguus, R. eximius, and R. lucifer. Bivalves, or polysipods, are aquatic mollusks inhabiting marine, brackish, and freshwater environments. With roughly 25,000 living species, they account for the greatest biomass among mollusks and often dominate benthic ecosystems. The earliest bivalves were infaunal, burrowing into soft sediments. Their calcareous shells ensure they are well represented in the fossil record. These shells consist of two valves connected by a non-calcified ligament at the hinge, which holds them apart until adductor muscles draw them closed. Middle Jurassic rocks at Contact Point on the west side of the Bruin Bay Fault yield a diverse array of marine invertebrate fossils that suggest formation in warm, shallow seas. In contrast, upper Jurassic rocks of the Naknek Formation on the fault's east side are dominated by cold water invertebrates, chiefly bivalves of the genus Buchia. This shift in biodiversity from the middle to late Jurassic, observed in other parts of North America, likely reflects the northward movement of tectonic plates, though its precise cause remains uncertain. These fossil records not only enrich our understanding of Jurassic marine ecosystems, but also illuminate the interplay of environmental and tectonic forces. Modern studies continue to analyze these assemblages, offering fresh insights into the evolution of marine life and regional geological processes. The ammonites of Cook Inlet were thoroughly studied by paleontologist Ralph W. Imlay of the U.S. Geological Survey. Ammonites are extinct marine mollusks related to modern octopuses, squid, and cuttlefish, though not to shelled nautiloids. Their fossil shells typically form planispirals, as seen in many snails, although non-spiraled forms also occur. Because these cephalopods are extinct and their soft parts seldom preserve, little is known about their biology. Many ammonites likely swam in open seas rather than dwelling on the seafloor, as their fossils often occur in sediments lacking benthic life. They may have evaded predators by squirting ink, a trait shared with modern cephalopods, with occasional specimens preserving traces of this defense. The animal's soft body occupied the large open end of the coil, while the smaller earlier chambers, sealed off from the living space, were filled with gas to maintain buoyancy, causing them to float above the main shell. During the early and middle Jurassic, most ammonites reached no more than 9.1 inches in diameter. The largest species grew to 6.6 feet, while the largest documented North American ammonite from the Cretaceous measured 4.5 feet. Ammonites flourished during the Mesozoic, with many genera evolving rapidly and disappearing within a few million years. Their swift evolution and widespread distribution make them excellent index fossils for biostratigraphy, allowing geologists to correlate rock layers with specific geologic periods. Ammonites survived several major extinction events, although only a few species persisted each time before diversifying into numerous forms. Their abundance declined in the late Mesozoic, and their extinction, along with that of other marine life and non-avian dinosaurs, is attributed to the Cretaceous-Paleogene event. Their enduring presence in the fossil record and rapid evolutionary turnover not only provide a key tool for dating sedimentary layers, but also offer insights into marine ecosystem dynamics and the impact of mass extinctions. Thank you for listening. Read the article below for more information, including dozens of links to source material and references. Please subscribe to learn more about the West Coast of North America at coastview.org.